listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God who comes to us in peace. Amen. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Think about that for just a second. 6 weeks it's been since that high holy day of our church calendar. It happened in early June this year. It's been 6 weeks, can you believe it, that we celebrated the birth of the Christian church again this year, that we gathered, everybody wore red that day, the Holy Spirit coming to be among us, in us, all around us. It's the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit. And now, 6 weeks later, here we are, deep into what's simply called the season after Pentecost. It's worth doing a little bit of check-in 6 weeks after Pentecost. A little Pentecost check-in. A little Holy Spirit check-in. Now that we're living in the Spirit, how's it going? Paul says this in Romans, that we're living in the Spirit. So now that that's happened, that is the truth. The Spirit is with us and lives in us, and now we're in the season after Pentecost. So how you doing? Now that the Holy Spirit is enfleshed into your own body, into your breath, into your bones, how's that going for you? It's worth doing a little Holy Spirit check-in today. 16th century Spanish Christian mystic Teresa of Avila, she wrote this, and I quote, "Beginners in prayer are those who draw the water from the well. This is very hard work, for it will fatigue them to keep their sense recollected, which is extremely difficult because they have been accustomed to a life of distraction. God grant that there may be water in the well, but that at least does not depend on us. Our task is to draw it and to do what we can to water the flowers. What then will a person do who finds for many days nothing but aridity, dislike, and distaste? The gardener will rejoice and take new heart and consider it the greatest of favors to work in the garden of so great an emperor." Close quote. God grant that there may be water in the well 6 weeks after Pentecost. God grant that there may be water in the well and help us to draw from it in these days, perhaps these days of aridity, these days of dislike and distaste. Help us to take heart and consider this work of prayer and spirituality. Help us to consider this the greatest of favors to work in the garden that is your planet. Garden imagery, I think, especially in these hot days when, I don't know about you, but my garden's not doing so great. Garden imagery, especially in these hot days, I hope, can be helpful as we engage in a little bit of honest Holy Spirit check-in. Our spiritual lives at times sure can be synonymous with our weather here in Southern California in the summertime. Arid, stale, motionless even. When it gets hot, and it sure can these days, when it gets hot, we're trying not to turn the air on, so when it gets hot, I don't know about you, but I almost feel motionless. I almost feel like some kind of reptile just sitting there. Maybe this is a metaphor for our spiritual lives too, if we're honest. Which isn't to say that we're not moving, that we're not moving at all. Often it's when we're the most busy that our spiritual lives, when we're most preoccupied, that our spiritual lives become almost reptilian. It's when we're doing so many other things. Like Teresa of Avila says, we've become accustomed to a life of distraction. Amen. It's good to do a little Holy Spirit check-in in this time. in these days, in this upcoming week? How is the Holy Spirit stirring in you lately? On Pentecost Sunday, 6 weeks ago, I shared a benediction that was different because lately we've been doing the sung benediction. It's so beautiful. We'll do that again today. But on Holy Spirit Sunday, on Pentecost Sunday, I shared a poem as our benediction that day. I shared this: "The news is that God's wind is blowing. It may be a breeze that cools and comforts. It may be a gust that summons you to notice. It may be a storm that blows you where you have never been before. Whatever the wind is in your life, pay attention to it. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit will abide with you always." That was our benediction, our sending out, our good word before we went out that day. Pay attention to it. Whatever the wind is in your life, pay attention again to the Holy Spirit in your life this week. This is our wake-up call. This is our midterm check-in. Whatever the Spirit is doing in your life, whatever is stirring for you, pay attention to it, sisters and brothers in Christ, for the Spirit is not dead. The Holy Spirit never dies. The Holy Spirit has not stopped moving in our midst. What dies, what can often dry out, is our reception to the Spirit. Our awareness of the Holy Spirit's movement in our midst, in our hearts, in our world, but the Spirit is still moving all the time. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we are edified again today with the good news that God is the one who provides the deep well water of the Holy Spirit, the deep well water of life and movement and joy and peace. We hear that good word once again this day. And Paul calls us to something specific about that. Paul highlights for us that this Spirit that is alive and in our midst is also a liberating Spirit. This Holy Spirit frees us. I think that's hardest often for us church people to hear, that we are free. I say, no, I'm not free. There are rules that we need to follow. The Holy Spirit frees us, not just to do anything that we want, but this stirring of the Spirit frees us from condemnation and death. This Holy Spirit frees us from the chains of sin that can bind us. With our Holy Spirit check-in today, we discover once again that because the Spirit is alive and well and in our midst, we're no longer condemned, Paul says. We're no longer sentenced to a life of reptilian spirituality. The Holy Spirit now waters us and sets us free to love and to serve and to participate, to go outward, to share in this world. Not just after we die. It doesn't just free us for the time after death, but it frees us today to go outward. It frees us here and now. What is the Holy Spirit setting you free from? What is the Holy Spirit setting you free from so that you can go outward? How are you being liberated this day? Last week we spent time with the Enneagram, which was very different. But the Enneagram gets at that very specifically, because what might be binding you might be different than what is binding me and my type. So I'll tell you what binds me is the need to impress, the need to make you think well of me. That pretty much drives me. That's the type 3. If you're a type 3, you can probably relate to that. What is it that's binding you? For others, it's the need to just keep having new experiences constantly, constantly, constantly. For others, it's the need to just keep consuming information, information. All these things can bind us to an unhealthy state. So, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we did the Enneagram last week. There's a few extra tests on your way out if you want to pick that up and work on finding out what your type is. I think it just helps us get even more specific when we start talking about liberation. The liberation, that the things that are binding us, Christ frees us from that. The Holy Spirit frees us from that. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Luther said that, remember? Many of you once memorized this. It's the third article of the Creed. I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I believe that I can't believe in Jesus on my own. Pretty powerful, really, if you think about it. I can't do it on my own. I don't have it in me. But, Luther says, instead, The Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with God's gifts, made me holy, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith. Just as the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. Remember that? It's all dependent on the Spirit. It's got nothing to do with us. All we can do is open our hands and accept the Spirit's movement in our midst, to wake up to it once again. Holy Spirit gathers us in, fills us with light, makes us holy, and then sends us back out. Children, by the way, give us a clue into that with their energy, their grace, their love, their openness, their courage. What if we became almost reptilian in terms of our busy schedules? In other words, what if we just sit for a change and be like some kind of giant lizard so that we can pay attention to the Spirit's movement in our hearts and in our world? Sometimes when we just keep going, 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 we miss it all. And sometimes we're flooded with emotion when we actually do stop. It just takes over. But what if we tried becoming almost reptilian, almost physically, in terms of our busyness, so that we can just sit and be for a change, so that we can pay attention to the Spirit's movements in our hearts and in our world? Right in the midst of all this heat and aridity, right in the middle of all the hatred and distrust in our world, in our hearts, in our city, God's people find water. We have stories in the Bible about God's people finding water from a rock. The last place you'd ever expect. Water gushing out of a rock in the middle of the desert. God's people discover God's faithfulness there. In the desert, of all places. Right in the middle of just sitting there. God's people find life in the Spirit, of all places. I'm so glad that I marched yesterday in the San Diego Pride Parade with some of you from our congregation. I was so glad that a few members of our congregation also wrote that they wanted to come and be part of it. They just couldn't for scheduling reasons. Maybe we'll have a larger group next year. We were invited this year as religious leaders in San Diego to the San Diego Gay Pride Parade to march right up at the very front this year. This has never happened. It's pretty unprecedented, I think, as Pride Parades go, that they would have the religious community actually represented right in the front of the entire parade, just to set the tone that religious communities, even Christians, it's how bad it's gotten, even Christians are not full of hate and aridity and dislike and distaste, but rather that people of faith all over San Diego actually love and support the LGBTQ community. I have to say that to walk and to simply wave, you know, we just walked and waved. To hold a sign, Nancy made a sign that says love one another. We held a quilt that our quilters made with a rainbow cross on it. And to see so many people as we just walked by with tears in their eyes, just mouthing the words to us, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for at least opening your doors to us and trying to welcome us. It was really powerful. I was glad I had sunglasses on. It may be a gust that summons you to notice. It may be a storm that blows you where you've never been before. Whatever the wind is in your life, sisters and brothers in Christ, pay attention to it. And the blessing of God will abide with you always. I did sense that gust as I walked along yesterday with our sisters and brothers, with members of the faith community that weren't my faith community. I did sense that gust as I looked at our bishop walking with us, who told me later, I wouldn't have done this 10 years ago. I'll be honest with you. Here we are. As we held signs, and as we walked by some protesters too. There was a small group of protesters. They were holding signs that says, God hates gay people. Except they didn't use that word. They were yelling at us, religious leaders, shame on you for not following the Bible. I have to tell you, you've seen this. You know this debate. You know this crisis. You know this conflict. But I have to tell you, to experience it, which some have experienced it far more than I ever have. You can imagine this, but to hear it, to see the signs, it's powerful. and you feel a cold, chilly gust of wind in that case. The Holy Spirit is deeply present in such moments like this. The Holy Spirit is deeply present in moments where love and justice and grace and truth are at stake. That just happens to be one of the ones I most recently experienced. But there's the Holy Spirit there, stirring and chilling and comforting us all at the same time. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God provides the cool water. We're simply invited to splash in it. We're simply invited to drink from it. We're simply invited to dive into it. God provides the cool water, as Teresa of Avila says. The Holy Spirit just sets us free, and it's even fun. It is the greatest of favors to work in this garden of so great a God. Amen.
At Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!